go. On to another episode of the Center Ring, TCR for short, also known as your favorite esports podcast. Welcome to the show, episode 21. We're over the hill, we are into the 20s. We can now drink alcohol legally in the United States of America.
Our show can, yeah.
We're making it, fam. We are making it. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. The gentleman across the table from me is Brandon. Brandon, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate you asking. It's been a pretty crazy day, pretty busy day.
Yeah. Good deal. Well, it's late, so stay with us and then we can get this show done in about an hour's time. Speaking of time, the time is a little bit after 9 p.m. on what date is it?
February 22nd, 2016.
9 p.m. February 22nd. For all you fact checkers out there who say something's going to happen, because it never fails. Something happens.
It even seems like the days we record the show like a day late. It's like that
needs to
be the next day. Yeah.
Like we normally record on a Monday and we're like, okay, well, let's push it back till Wednesday. We're busy this week. Let's just do Wednesday. See if something happens. Nothing will happen. Wednesday rolls around. We record the show. Thursday, bam, teams blow up and scandals happen. It's like, where was this 2 days ago before we recorded the show and had nothing to talk about? Never fails. But that being said, we always have a good show for you. Today is no different. We will always end the show with the micro, a mosh posh of some stories. We have a returning segment today. We done one. We did it a long time ago. I can't even tell you when we did it. Clutch or kick. Basically, what we do there is we'll take some news stories that are a big deal to some, not to others, and we will decide if it's even worth keeping an eye on, if people are overreacting, and such.
We got some hot topics for that today, too.
So controversial. Of course, so we will open the show with none other than the Counter-Strike GO's Barcelona Open. How about that? An open to open. Barcelona Open CSGO happened this weekend. It was you wanted to talk about the format. Because it was definitely, they've done it
different.
Before.
I know they've done it before.
It's
very different. So the teams go in and play, and you have a set amount of lives. And then every time you lose a life. The more interesting thing to me was the winner of the previous match got to decide one of the teams for the next match, which was... It kind of reminded me of like Big Brother Survivor or something. I thought it was kind of lame. I guess it can make for some interesting...
It works for like one tournament a year. You wouldn't want it happening at any majors or anything like that.
Well,
but it's...
The big thing about it for me is like you can't... Like, so we're... pull the stats for a tournament. Unless you're sitting there watching it and writing it all down, you're never... You can't even tell who... who picked who or whatever afterwards, so...
No, it definitely makes Liquidpedia a little bit more difficult to read when you're trying to get the stats afterwards. But it's interesting for a weekend tournament, I would say. Definitely not anything you want to see more than that. Maybe that once a year. Each team has quote-unquote lives, where I think it's like four lives, so basically you can lose up to four times before you're eliminated from the tournament, and that basically carries all the way through the tournament. So it was spanned over 3 days. This one, like I said, was in Spain, Barcelona. So you had two actual local teams there. Existence and G-Bots. Those were the two local Spaniard teams. Basically went in there with no expectations.
Well, it's Existence did an interview. That's actually three lives, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's three, but Existence did an interview when they first got called up for their match and had to play against Astralis and was like, this is our first LAN ever. Like, that's their first LAN tournament ever, and they're jumping in against Astralis as their first game. Like, the fact that they even got two rounds, I was surprised. I really thought that was going to be a 16-0.
And that's one thing to, like, keep in mind. Like, yeah, they're here at the tournament with the big boys, but these are not. Yeah, they have a logo, and they might have be part of an organization or such, but these are not what you would call professional gamers. This is kind of where we can draw that line of, you know, what makes a professional gamer. Just because you go to a tournament and play competitively doesn't make you a quote unquote professional.
This is like if you're, you know, hockey reference, if your local men's league team got invited to play an NHL game because you just happened to live in the place that the NHL game was going on at. They did get through a qualifier, but it was a regional qualifier.
They definitely earned their spot there in the sense of what they had to do.
But to think that both of the teams would have played in a tournament like this anywhere other than in Spain, it would not happen
unless it was done through that nation's qualifier. Nonetheless, I'm not dogging on them. I loved it. I thought they both had really good spirits throughout the whole thing. I actually have some audio here from Mixwell, who played on GBots. Let me see here. This is when he was... So this is after the tournament. They've been eliminated and everything. He was asked a question about the Fnatic matches and kind of just how all that went and what was going through their head. So here's Mixwell on that.
We knew that Fnatic is the best team in the world, so we didn't have pressure, but we wanted to show that we have skill to play against the best, even though the game versus MVS today wasn't like yesterday, but we won both pistol rounds too, that helped us a lot, and we played every clutch situation without fear, and peeking every time, searching duels and winning them, so I'm happy for the brave of the team. We played extremely well.
So he's not even like slouched about it. He's like, you know what? We went out 0-3 or whatever their final thing was. We didn't win a single match. He did say, you know, he wished they did win one, but that wasn't, they were playing with house money this entire tournament. There was no expectations. The fact that they ended up going 16-14 against Dignitas, and before the match against Fnatic, all the table, all the analysts, commentators, OJ, everybody there was basically laughing. It was the last tournament match of day one. OJ went up to Fnatic and was basically, he went up to Dennis and was like, hey, if you could 16-0 these guys so we can all go home, it's late, we want to go.
That was pretty awful.
And it was kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek of like, hey, let's wrap this up. Why are we even doing this? And for a little bit there, it almost looked like they could have taken that match against Fnatic.
They took the lead there for a little bit.
Apart from some rookie mistakes where, you know, the rotations were a little off and they maybe have pushed points where they shouldn't have pushed at, they were there. Their last match against, I believe it was Envious, correct?
Yep.
Their one match against Envious, that was nothing to write home about. That one probably looked what everyone was expecting every game to look like. But I'm not going to knock them on that one. I mean, they were
the match
clearly
against,
playing above.
The match against Team Dignitas, everybody was like, oh, that's a fluke. And then the match against Fnatic, everybody was like, wait a second, they're probably not quite as bad as everybody thought. And it wasn't like they were even winning it on skill necessarily, like aiming or anything like that. They were actually having some solid tactical executes, and it might have been the unknown.
It could have been where completely factor, unknown. There's a lot of factors that go into it. I mean, you said it, the unknown. Fnatic maybe not have been in the right, well, not the right mindset, but their normal mindset at the start. They did, GBots, that is, they did win both pistol rounds on T and CT side. So that right there helps get at least three, sometimes four rounds just by winning the pistol rounds. It puts you at a huge advantage and can inflate some numbers. So, yeah, there's always going to be factors like that that go into play. but still not taking anything away from that. Literally, both of these Spanish teams here played way above, I think, their pedigree. Let me take that back. Not their pedigree, but their expectations.
Yeah.
And even as them, as themselves. He also, Mixwell said in this interview, I kind of touched on earlier, where they're definitely self-aware on, I mean, the type of team and players they are, and this is kind of him going off on that.
We will play on the boot, we will bootcamp a lot more in the gaming house, and we will try to be professionals. We are not professionals yet, I think, for me, at least. And, yeah, I hope that Spain joins into the Tier 1, Tier 2 European scene.
So, I mean, he even said it there, like, we're not professionals. Like, we're a group of friends, we're a group of guys that, are we good at Counter-Strike? Yeah, we're good, but we're not. Like, he looks at Fnatic and says, those guys, we look at G-Bots and say, they're professional gamers.
Yeah.
And he looks at Fnatic and says, they are the professional gamers. We're just lucky enough to play next to them.
Right.
But by no means are we professional gamers.
Big props to the Spanish crowd, too. Like, when Existence was playing, playing Vexed and Astralis, even though they only won two rounds, the two rounds they did win in both of those games, the Spanish fans were going pretty ham in the crowd. It was kind of nice.
So I think overall it was an entertaining tournament. The goofy setup, goofy prize money, even like, so if you won, which Fnatic did, I don't even know if we mentioned that yet, but they did win, if
was
that surprises
there, was
anyone.
There any question? Yeah.
Fnatic ended up beating Astralis in the finals. But just for winning, you got 22,000, or euro, however you want to say it, but we'll say 22,000. For the victories, you got money. It was $1,000 for every victory you got. And then you even got a bonus on top of that for every life you had left at the tournament. So that's why they ended up walking away with 32,000.
Yeah, you get 1,000 for every life and 1,000
for every
win.
And when you're someone like Fnatic, who kind of cleaned house the entire tournament, I mean, they ended up adding 10,000 to their prize pool. Oh, that's $2,000 more per player just from playing the tournament. I don't think that's the best way for a major or anything like that, but I don't hate that setup where your performance.
Well, the thing I liked about it is, even like if G-Bots or Existence, they were obviously never going to place, but if they were able to win a game, you know, for eighth place in the tournament, it was 500 euros. If they were able to have won a game, you know, it would have been 1,500 immediately. They would have, you know, gotten 300% of the money. So I like the win, the payout for each win. But yeah, I don't think you can't do something like that for a major.
Absolutely not. I think the majors should be set in stone with what you win. But I didn't hate it for this smaller tournament with these kind of lesser teams at the bottom of there. But one team I want to talk about here was, well, Team Envious, first off, they got fifth. They did not get into the top half of the tournament. They were really having a rough go. I believe they beat Fnatic the very first game of it, and then after that, they really didn't look that sharp. G2, former Titan, I keep keeping an eye on them because I've always said that I just don't think they really have much of anything. I think they are what Titan was. I think they played well this tournament, but at the same time, it seems like there's a wall when it comes to G2 versus that group of players versus the top teams, where they just can't seem to have it click for them.
And well, it's funny, is like they never seem far away from it.
No, they seem
they're all
the time.
Yeah, but it's like they can never just finish out a match. They crumble.
The end results never match the effort put in. But for whatever reason, I don't see anything that you can just swap out with that team. Like, what's a weak link with that team? They're really tough to watch and try to analyze for me anyways, because I don't see one standout where it's like, he's got to go. This is dragging the team down. Their in-game leader is bad. It just seems like they're right there and they just can't get that push. And I don't necessarily think that's a single entity causing it.
I don't think it is either. Pretty sure it's a mixture. It's almost like they have, almost like there's like too much individual skill and not enough teamwork involved, and that can lead to the kind of situations where they're not able to close out a game where they need to focus on like a tactical approach. They don't necessarily have that approach normally. They're kind of relying on shocks and screen to kind of hit their kills and for everyone else to clean up. So like I said, it's almost like, you know, there's too many good players on that team and not enough support.
I don't argue with that. I could see that point. I could see that point holding up, because you are correct in the sense of, you look at that roster and it does have major, major single support. But anyways, that's the Barcelona Open. I want to move on to Clutch Your Kick, because there's a lot of topics in there that I want to talk about. Some are a little older, just given the fact that we record this once a week. We'll get that one out of the way. Of course, by now, even if you don't follow CSGO, I'm sure you have heard the smack talk heard around the world, which was Freakazoid talking smack to Simple. So Freakazoid of Cloud9 talking smack to Simple of Team Liquid.
Good catch, by the way.
What?
You almost cursed there for a second. You stopped yourself. You're like, eh, not right now.
Not right now.
We might later.
You know, it's a family show. We don't have to. Why cuss if you don't have to? So I save that for when I actually play Counter-Strike. Yeah. So they were talking smack, and, well, let's step back. Everybody knows Freakazoid went in to the Mumble in a game that he was not playing. It was an FPL match. He was not part of it. And he was basically ripping on Simple. So the plan, or the basically all this rolled out, and the community got split basically into two. Some people were saying it was smack talk. You know, that's part of the game. That is esports in a nutshell. That is everything there. I want to shoot myself for saying that. So
that's copyrighted material, man.
He ruined that phrase for me. So I will never be able to say nutshell again. So we have that going on here. Some people say it was way out of line. I am on the side that say it was out of line in the sense of not so much what he said. I mean, I don't think talking trash should ever lead to actual personal attacks. Like, you would never call, like, if you're really trying to talk smack, you would never call a fat person fat, because I feel like that would be overstepping the boundary. You would call maybe someone a little overweight fat, but you would never call a fat person fat. Does that make sense?
No, it's a line. Like, there's a line you don't cross, especially with competitive video games. I mean, it is still just a video game and, you know, a sport and just something you compete at. There's no need to try and ruin somebody emotionally.
Especially when you're on the level that they're on, where it's like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
We're playing the game at the top level that you could possibly play it at right now. Why are we joining on random chats?
Well, that was
just to try to demean someone, especially when you're Freakazoid, who is supposed to be like a leader of man in the sense of, don't bully people, be who you are, and that's what matters. And then here he is doing the exact opposite of what he preaches, which I think that's what people are getting hung up on. Now, we do live in the world where everyone's a hypocrite, because the same people on Reddit who said that Freakazoid was just appalling and out of line are the same people that will make fun of Hiko because of his weight. So
it's the Reddit situation. It's like you have one thread yesterday that's just everybody in the thread is just dogging on Freakazoid, just saying he's, you know, a horrible human being.
This is my favorite part. How dare Freakazoid say that to Simple? How dare he say he has no friends? He just moved to America. Of course he doesn't have, like, best friends here, but he still has friends. And how dare he makes fun of how he talks and how he looks? You know, how dare Freakazoid say that? You know what? Freakazoid's an effin' Guido Tan, you know... Like, and then all of a sudden they'll drop every word in the book on Freakazoid. And it's like, so what did we learn here?
Yeah,
what was the lesson learned?
And then the next day, I mean, Breitbart released a story that somebody even went through the trouble of creating a Twitter account that was called Rip Freak's Family or Fam, and tweeted at him and said, I hope you can get your parents in a hotel room because one of them is going to die. Now, I totally get that this was probably somebody trying to become internet famous.
Like some 13-year-old that was like, this is a great idea.
Like, but it's now, like, if you're going to be upset about this.
If you want to make a fake Freakazoid Twitter account that just like tweets various typical muscle head things, I'm down for that.
That would be funny.
Like, if you just tweeted at everyone saying, just go get a tan.
That's a caricature. Like, this is like threats. And it's.
I feel like, don't you feel like that's a trend happening in esports? Like, all of a sudden now, threats are a thing. I felt like before we were all okay with making fun of each other's appearances and looks because it was kind of just, hey, I'm, you know, F off. I really don't care. Say whatever you want to me. I don't care.
So the thing is
but
like...
But now all of a sudden we're getting into threats.
Well, esports is becoming much more of a... So gaming in general has always been kind of like, I'm behind my screen, you're behind your screen, right? And people talk trash or whatever. Now it's becoming much more of a in-person kind of thing and like people going to events and tournaments and all that. And if you take a look at the DreamHack Richard Lewis Loda situation, that was prototypical... People talking trash on the internet saying, you wouldn't come meet me in person, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the next thing you know,
they're there.
So, I mean, I think that's kind of what's escalating to now is that these people are actually, you know, face to face with all these other people they're interacting with. And it's always in the gaming in general has always been so, so vitriol, just trash talking, just trying
come at
to
me, bro, you can't ever touch me.
Yeah,
you don't know my name, and now you're getting it to where it's at LANs and
people know who everybody is.
Again,
you know, you get a reputation.
Threats are not taken lightly either, people. Like, let's pump the brakes on these death threats. This is my PSA to you, because you will never get arrested faster than having a death threat on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, they can find you.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just thinking, like, I wonder if he was even smart enough to, like, use a VPN to make the Twitter account.
Definitely not. Someone who makes a Twitter account saying, Rip Freakazoid's Fam is not smart enough to make it on a private network.
So let's talk about the punishment for that real quick, because I know you and I were both kind of surprised at the level of punishment Freakazoid got from... his team.
Yes, from Cloud9. I was surprised, but I was pleasantly pleased. I was pleasantly surprised, if you will. So basically, Cloud9 went and they dropped the hammer on him. Suspended 1 month's pay, where 50% of it's going to an anti-bully organization, and the other 50% is going to another
charity
of some sort. And he has to go to an anti-bullying
seminar
meeting. So, I mean, they did not, and they said, this is unacceptable, this is not the way we want to our players to act, or represent the organization, which I think that was the kicker.
Right.
The organization, as Cloud9 themselves were representing, very poorly there. One line in their statement that I just loved, where they said, CSGO is becoming bigger, and it's this... loose quotations here.
Paraphrasing.
CSGO is becoming more professional, and so must we. That's basically what it said in the statement, and I loved that because it's what we've been preaching from episode one, that we would love to have esports be more adult. I don't know, and I'm not saying be square and boring and, you know, tuck your t-shirt into your jeans adult.
socks and sandals.
Right. Don't be stupid, adult.
That's, yeah, it's, and people love to take that and immediately go black and white, that if you say it should be professional and adult, you mean that esports should lose all of its personality, and that's not the case at all. There, you can be, you know, responsible and still be esports, but...
And everything can be translated in different ways. Like you can call someone a dumbass, and everyone's kind of like, okay, whatever, that's okay. But then you call someone like a retard, and like that just sounds so much worse.
Right.
Same message, same point, sounds so much worse and so much more offensive. And maybe that's coming from someone who did work in special education as myself. And like I actually did volunteer with anti-bullying organizations through college and everything to help people. So maybe that's why it hits closer to home, where I think like no punishment for this was too severe, because it was, I mean, it was straight up, he was being a bully. Like even to the point where Simple had no idea who it was. And this is how I know it was for the point of being a dick, because Freakazoid never once said who he was throughout all of it.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire thing, he just kept talking, never saying who he was. So if it was there for all good fun, he would have said his name. He did it to be insulting.
Yeah.
So I don't think the punishment, I mean,
I think the punishment fit it. I'm just happy that someone was held accountable for it, because you're right, it was literally just somebody going into, you know, a private chat and just trying to ruin somebody's day. Like, there's just no place for it.
So clutch or kick? This story hold as much clout as it hit the...
I think it's a clutch, but not for the anti-bullying stuff so much as just what we just talked about, the responsibility of players as professional gamers to hold themselves to a better standard.
I will say it is a clutch for Cloud9. They clutched it. They saved it in my eyes. It's a kick for the people saying, get over it. It's smack talk. Because that's such an escape nowadays, where you're just, you know.
It's just banter.
Right. It's just banter, bro. Just chill out, man. We're just kidding around. Like, they could say the most offensive things, like, but hey, man, just don't worry about it. Moving on, but not too far, because we're continuing on Team Liquid. Team Liquid's always in the news for Cloud9 or for CS:GO. Lots of roster shuffling going on with Team Liquid. We mentioned last week where Adren was released from the team, or at least from his position with the team, to be supposedly replaced by Kusta.
Okay.
This is the first time.
Yeah.
Then it was, well, Kusta's still on contract with Enemy, so then it was turned into Mo will sub in for the MLG qualifier. And then everyone was freaking out about that, because Mo is on Echo Fox, so how's that going to work out?
Which Moses tweeted about that, and it's absolutely beyond me how people don't see what Echo Fox is doing, but we'll go into that in a minute.
So, fast forward to today and a day ago, Mo has came out and said, I can't do it for various reasons. I'll release a statement. And since we started recording this, I don't think he released a statement. But, so he's no longer subbing in for them. I'm assuming that had some complications to do with Echo Fox in the end. Then you have Kusta, who is officially on Team Liquid now. Kusta is on Team Liquid's roster as far as anything outside of the MLG major is concerned. But what they're doing is, because Enemy and Team Liquid are both at this qualifier, Liquid is loaning Kusta to Enemy. For the sake of basically, I guess, short notice of him leaving? I don't know. I guess it's just all the dirty laundry got out, so they had to do something.
What, with Kusta?
Yeah. Because they ended up basically putting on their... Now, Kusta's on Liquid, but he's on loan to Enemy, and they're all playing in the qualifiers. And if Enemy qualifies for MLG Major, well, then Enemy is going to play at that major with Kusta. Kusta will be on T Team Enemy's roster if they all qualify. Meanwhile, all this is going on, and Team Liquid needs a fifth.
Yeah, they don't have... Well, Adren's going to end up playing.
So, two things. Is Adren going to play? And GB James has my contact information. So, where is my invite?
There was actually... Hiko put out a tweet asking if anyone knew of a fifth.
And every team needs a bottom fragger. And I'm great at that position. Like, I've been practicing. I know when to push.
So I'm actually looking at the most statement right now.
Okay,
so he posted it four hours ago.
Okay,
and said that he rushed to tell Liquid that he would play. However, he did not go through the proper chain of commands with his own team, Echo Fox,
aka my boss.
Yep, and it did come down to the fact that if Mo were to play on Team Liquid and they did qualify for the major, his team. Echo Fox later on would never be able to play in the minor championships because of the way the qualifying works, because Mo would have played in a major. So they could not have qualified for a major later on, which is why he ended up not playing for Team Liquid.
But your theory on that,
well, my whole thing
on why
was,
it doesn't matter,
was that Echo, if I'm looking at Echo Fox, they're not, I don't think they're in it to go play at majors and travel the world playing Counter-Strike. I think they're in it to play at TBS, like to go down to Atlanta and win $1 million every 10 weeks or every, little mini season they have. I don't understand why they would even worry about this Mo subbing in. Other than if they just maybe will want to qualify later on.
And I think that's what it was. I think it was like, dude, I think what I think it was Mo did not consider his other teammates and what they thought about it. I think you are correct in the sense of if they're in the Turner League, that's the biggest prize pool ever. And that's, you kind of have to be in the area to do it.
Right.
So I think Mo probably thought, whatever, not a big deal. But as far as teammates, I could see where they were like, hey, let's not completely take everybody out of the pool for this because you decided to go play in a match with another team. Like, Mo has to remember he is now part of a team. This is not just him anymore. He is on a organization. So I think that's where that's where it didn't sit right with me.
But him accepting the invite in the first place?
Right. Okay. Because I felt like he put his needs in front of the team's.
Gotcha.
And that's what didn't sit right with me. Not that it just completely didn't make sense on why he was doing it, because I don't think Echo Fox is qualifying for any majors, but because I just felt like he just didn't think of the organization beforehand. Because even then, like, imagine if you were Rick Fox, the CEO of the organization, and your player just went to go do this without ever consulting you, and everybody's saying, like, hey, now you can never qualify through a minor. You have to go through the big ropes, the big hoops to get there. I could see where he was kind of like, were you not going to run this by me?
It might have even jeopardized his position with the team, because I'm sure, if they wanted to have qualified for the major later on, Echo Fox, they would have had to do it without Mo.
Right. So it's kind of a mess, to say the least, between all of the rosters that were all involved with this and affected, and it's all temporary. And now people are saying, well, Adren is still technically with the organization. He just was demoted off the main roster. He's a sub.
Right.
So now they are really going to go and ask, I think they probably already have. They're going to ask Adren to come and play in MLG.
So
they are.
What do you think his effort level is gonna be? Like, hey, you're awful. We're gonna put you take you off the roster. Oh, but wait, could you finish playing?
There's one or two ways that this is going to work. Either his effort level is gonna be through the roof because he wants to keep his spot.
True. Yeah. So contract year.
He's going. Yeah. Exactly. Contract year. He wants to prove to them that, hey, it is not too late to fix this, and I'm here. I'm Team Liquid. He's been on there for over a year, which is a lifetime in esports. So he was part of the original roster when they bought out the team that they bought out. It's escaping my mind right now. So moving on. So he's been there forever. So I think he could either go with that route where he wants to prove him wrong and make the team, or it's just going to be zero Fs given. Just, I'm here to play Counter-Strike.
You know, it's hard, and it's hard to say, for me anyway, I don't know Adrian personally.
No, I haven't.
Right.
Neither of us now, have ever talked to him.
Competitive gaming-wise, like, I mean, competitive anything.
You want to win.
When you get in a situation like this, you want to win, right? So you want to try. But...
And keep in mind, money is still on the line.
That's true.
So why wouldn't he want to increase his personal stock, play well, look good for other teams, and then in the meantime, possibly winning some cash?
I could just see, and this isn't, like I said, don't know Adrin. I know there are people in the competitive gaming scene that would intentionally play like crap as like a comeback to being cut from the roster.
It's a very subtle middle finger that he could easily pull on the other team.
Yeah.
Just once. I really want him just to, like, at the start of the round, just drop a nade just at spawn. Just get it out of the way.
Get a two-week ban from matchmaking.
Drop a nade and be like, this is what's up, everyone. Just want to let you all know that.
Right.
Because they are literally asking the guy they just fired to come back as a part-time employee because they need the help. Like, you just fired him before holiday season, and it was a big mistake because you thought everything was working out, and it's not. So now you're asking him to come back, and it's just really has to be so, so uncomfortable, I would have to imagine.
Yeah, you know, and from what I've gathered, I think Adrin is a very...
he's mature about
He's mature in the videos he's done to kind of help CSGO and people learning the game. I feel like he would give all of the effort that he could to... Even if it is, you know, just to make sure the rest of the team can get through to the major.
I agree. So clutch or kick, I think there's a lot of clutch or kicks. Do we want to clutch or kick Liquid and Adren and all their final roster moves?
Well, let's do so. Clutch or kick on Kusta. We didn't even really touch on that, but do you think it's a good move? I mean, they've literally picked up a guy that, you know, was playing on Enemy, was playing well on Enemy, but, you know, the only team they could ever beat was Cloud9 for the most part.
I'm going to say clutch because I'm also in the pool where Stewie2K needed a chance. So to not give Kusta a chance would be very hypocritical of me. So I will say clutch because the only way you're going to increase the NA scene is by giving these guys a chance. So I will say clutch on Kusta joining Team Liquid.
I'll say clutch too, but it's going to be clutch because Liquid is obviously trying everything they can to become the best team they can, bringing Simple over and then now going after Kusta. Like you said, you know, trying to get a slightly unproven young talent a chance to succeed.
I will say as clutch or kick on the Mo situation, I will say kick because I really do think it was probably handled poorly on the back end. It was really a non-news story to begin with. I don't think he purposely meant to leave anybody out. I just think it was an innocent. Yeah, I'll go. I mean, I've played with you guys before. What's the big deal?
Right.
So I just think it was, you know, a rookie mistake of him being on an official team again.
Kick on Echo Fox not having like clear definitions of what they're even trying to accomplish.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, we will know more of their intentions when the Turner League starts, when the E-League starts, because that's how we're going to see. I mean, maybe they are going to be a top dog and competitor there, and that's what they will want to do.
Right.
Or maybe they'll just go on the wayside and be another bottom barrel team where you're going to find them in all these other little tournaments. Moving on, though, one other thing that we wanted to talk about on Clutch or Kick, and then we'll move on to the micro. Match fixing is rearing its ugly head yet again in the competitive gaming scene. This time, the victim is Dota 2.
It is actually, while researching for this, the Team E-Wolves have been accused many, many times for match fixing. The latest situation taking place in the Pro Dota Cup tournament, and it actually happened on two different matches that E-Wolves won the original match, and then in the second match didn't win, very, very poorly played games, to the point of people posting links to the games as they were going on, saying, hey, this looks like a possible match fix. Like, that's just how blatant it was.
That's how bad the red flag was in the
match.
Yeah,
it's like,
people
like they said, well, they said people were, they said the players were just funneling into 1v5s, just, you know, hero or ancient after ancient.
Feeding them
experience and kills. It totaled a ton of money. E-Wolves versus Enemy, the bet that won, the money that was kind of made everybody think it was fixing was $1,914. There was another one, E-Wolves versus Infamous, for $957.
Isn't that kind of sad when you're looking at that amount?
Yeah, and well, another one, E-Wolves versus Infamous, he bet $1,344 and won. And the last one also against Infamous, he bet $2,151 and won. And granted, this is all in-game items that can be exchanged for that amount of currency at the time. So, you know, that's subject to change. There's screenshots of Facebook conversations where E-Wolf's players were actually trying to sell the knowledge of which matches they were going to fix so that you could then go bet on them. And the saddest part about all of this is that it's actually almost encouraged by these people because of how much money, like I said, that one game was worth $2,000. That alone was worth more than what they would have won placing first place in the prize pool.
So this is, and I know there's been a lot of theories on how we can do to fix matchmaking and how can you even prove it? Because I even know like figures like Richard Lewis is even kind of pumping the brake on all this, saying, you know, people just want to accuse any team for losing. You know, Fnatic loses, oh, it's because they're fixing the match. Or any team that should have won who loses is fixing. I understand that argument, but at the same time, sometimes if you look guilty, it's because you are guilty. And like this, they have like histories dating back months.
And it's not even just the history. So the Pro Dota Cup, what is his actual position? Pro Dota Cup owner invited Z-Talk, Infamous, and the E-Wolves managers to a Skype conference call to try and like figure out what was going on. Asked for, Z-Talk said that they were practicing Husker Boy and Husker, and they knew that they could win with him because the other team, you know, is really bad against them. And he asked for screenshots, or he's like, I checked the history and I don't see any games, you know, with Husker in it. And then they said it was, oh, it was private scrims. He's like, well, can I see a screenshot? Because if it's a private game, you still have visibility on it. Yeah. Yeah. So the game automatically keeps it. Even if it's a private match,
right,
a player in the match could see it. Asked for that, and they basically said, well, no, we're not giving you anything because we didn't do anything wrong. All right.
Which, if you didn't do anything wrong, you would have it and just give it to them.
You just give it over. Like, yeah.
Like,
so...
No, officer, you cannot search my trunk. There's nothing in there.
And then there were screenshots of Facebook chats that were kind of coming out that were, like, trying to show that it wasn't match fixing. If you're trying to lie, lying to something like Reddit is a bad idea generally, because somebody will do everything they can just to show that you're lying.
There's a lot of people on Reddit with a lot of free time.
Yeah, Reddit detectives.
The detectives are unreal.
Ruthless. anyway, they take these screenshots and they do all their, you know, and I've always questioned the validity of them, like if they're, you know, how accurate they are or whatever. But they're basically saying that the screenshots are fake. They were edited to disprove the match fixing thing. So this whole thing is just, it's sad that there's more money in betting and match fixing than there is in actually playing the games. And it's even worse that these teams are essentially taking advantage of other, you know, community members. Like the only reason that money that they won is so large is because other people were betting on the game and betting in favor of the team that threw the match. And that's when I think, and that's why I totally support the iBuyPower bans. Like you're not just like making money. You're literally hurting everybody else that is watching and betting on that game.
And it's almost a dirty move on your fans. Because some fans will bet for you regardless. And then the fact that you're going to throw a match like that, you're essentially lying to your fans. You're lying to the community. And it just, it hurts everyone. It's like you said, it hurts everyone. It hurts the community. It hurts the faith that they have for other teams. Because now everybody's going to look shady if they try to do a new anything, new strategy.
Yeah, if you lose a match
poorly,
you're going to look like everybody's going to say you're match fixing.
So I'm going to clutch the fact that I think the story itself, I think, is clutch. They clutched the round. They'll live to see another day because I definitely want to follow it because there's nothing proven, correct?
No, other than the fake screenshots, I mean, there's nothing, nobody said anything, there's no hard evidence or anything like that, so.
I'm going to say that it is most likely they're guilty. Typically, when you get this much dirty laundry on you, it's not because people just don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, you're not that popular of a team to where people are just going to try to outright say that you're match fixing and going through all this to prove it. Typically where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think this one is strong enough to where it will clutch the round for now and live on to see another day. The story that is, I think match fixing in general should.
I'm saying kick on Ewolves. Cause in my brief research of trying to find all of the numbers and everything again, there were way too many instances of this team being accused of match fixing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's clutched on the fact that most likely they did it. Kicked on the fact that at least do it once and then not do it again. Like and move.
And I forgot to note that those winnings that I listed out were only on one Dota 2 betting website. They have, you know, they have shown that this guy's bet, it's the same username betting on multiple websites.
Well, that's a smart idea, right?
So that's only the one website that tells you exactly what they won. Who knows what, you know, what kind of haul they actually brought in.
And let's use the same username for everyone because that's the brightest idea ever. So let's move on then. There's Clutch and Kick. A triumphant return, I might say.
That was a good one, yeah.
Let us know what you think about it. Did you disagree with us? Did you agree with us? Let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. Moving on though to the micro. I want to start with this since we've been kind of heavy on CSGO like usual. But the Mongols, they're coming into town. When I say town, I mean nation, for the MLG Columbus qualifier that's approaching pretty fast. 2 weeks or so. No.
I think it's next weekend. Yeah.
Next week. So they don't have a whole lot of time to get their things in order, but getting their visas denied is not helping anything. So their visas were denied. The team cannot enter the country. Mainly this is, you told me the reason before the show, but
the U.S. government thinks that, that they will basically come into the country and never leave again.
Which, it sounds stupid.
It happens.
It sounds stupid and it sounds silly, but it does happen. And I mean, I guess that's the risk you take when, you know, you're coming here. You, like they said, they have no family here. They're coming here to play a video game. It sucks.
I mean, there are countries that are now recognizing esports as like an I guess they call it, they're an athlete, but a competitive sport. So they're recognizing those visas now. Like,
and so it's easier to get the
visa. To get the visa. But yeah, this is a, and the Mongols, one of the players from the Mongols, actually the one that posted it on Reddit asking about it. And he said that the background checks and things they've gone to or gone through so far have been very, very intense, and they're still being denied. But I do know MLG and Valve are working to try and fix it.
I think they'll make it. I've never...
I hope so. It'd really suck for them to miss out on
really
this opportunity. It would
really suck because I was really happy for them to get there to begin with. I mean, everything in esports has always tapped into the Asian market, and it seems like FPS and Counter-Strike is one that just hasn't. And to have this Asian team fly over here for this North American major, I thought was going to be a really cool story to follow. And it would really suck if they were not given the chance because of this. That being said, I think it's going to happen. I mean, how many times do you hear visas denied? All the time. All the time these players get their visas denied or revoked or whatever. And I feel like they always make it somehow. So I think they're. I think it's going to work out.
Well, I mean, isn't Team YP also struggling with visa issues?
I believe they found two extra players.
Did they get two stand-ins?
I believe they found two stand-ins that can help them. I saw them tweet about it, and that's the extent of my research.
Well, that's kind of a curveball, so.
Right. So, moving on then, what else did you have for the micro?
And actually, a kind of interesting situation. Na'Vi has dropped their European League of Legends Challenger Series roster. They just signed it back a year ago. They did not qualify for the LCS, and so they have dropped it, citing an opportunity. They signed a Russian roster playing in a new League of Legends league called the League of Legends Continental League, which seems to be a Russian-exclusive kind of league, which is what I thought was very interesting about it.
Their own little KHL action going on.
Yeah, so Na'Vi has signed a team that is actually, I think, in first place in that league right now. I don't know what the competition is like or anything like that, but I thought it was interesting that they have opted to go to a team competing somewhere that is not the, you know, the LCS, which is like the tournament of all esports. It's the tournament, so...
Maybe they factored in that if it is lesser competition that they can have a better chance of just standing out as a top team.
True.
So you have that. But speaking of top teams and standing out, Heroes of the Storm, their European Spring Regional qualifiers for the World Championship, it's going on here in a couple weeks, March 5th through the 6th, so about 2 weeks. That has some heavy hitters there as far as Heroes of the Storm is concerned. Na'Vi, speaking of one, they're basically number two in the world. They will be there. Team Liquid will be there. They're roughly number four, if you want to argue. Fnatic will be there. So you have some big teams there that should make for an interesting... It's a small little qualifier. It's just European qualifier,
right,
after all, so you don't have everything there.
The Team Liquid team is...
They're European for HOTS.
Oh, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So they... It should be an interesting tournament there. I think HOTS has a place in this world. I really like the game. It's my choice of MOBA.
Mine too, yeah.
It's a lot more simple, so maybe that's why it helps that I don't have to remember what item combination and counter combination pick I need to know.
Right.
As opposed to most of their MOBAs like Dota. Is there enough room, though, for a third MOBA? I know we've discussed it before. But it seems like,
you know,
million MOBA. MOBAs used to be like a dime a dozen type of game where there was really not many out there. And now it seems like everybody's making one.
There's, I like Heroes of the Storm as well. I think there is a place for it. I don't think it'll ever reach the size of Dota 2 or League of Legends. There's absolutely no way that,
there's not that much people to make it that big.
Yeah, and the only way it will ever get that way is if, you know, Riot all of a sudden decides to stop working on the game, or Valve, you know, decides that Dota was a complete ripoff and of StarCraft and, you know, the mod, and they should end it and give the reins over to Blizzard again.
Which that's not happening anytime soon.
So.
But I think it has its place. I think it will be there still because Blizzard wants it.
Oh, Blizzard's
going to
pump money into it.
I mean, it will.
And for the, you know, and for a casual watcher, Heroes of the Storm is much more interesting to watch because it's much, there's much more action. It's much quicker, easier to understand.
Quicker in the sense of time.
Yeah, the games. Yeah, games. The games go a lot quicker. You get to team fights a lot faster than you do in Dota. So it becomes, it's the same gameplay just condensed. So, you know, it makes it a little easier to watch.
Speaking of Dota, though, I want to bring this up real quick. We'll talk about it throughout the coming weeks because it's a span over 2 weeks. Shanghai Major for Dota 2, that is starting here in just a couple of days. So probably by the time you even listen to this podcast and it's up. But February 25th through the March 6th is going to be that. 2 weeks long, you have the group stage basically being the first week, and then the actual event of the major being the second week. So that is a very, very long, intensive major, all of which group stage is double elimination, and then you have best of best of threes, and then a best of five for the finals. How can they manage to do it? And then yet you get MLG.
It's a week long.
But they're renting out a space.
That's true.
My argument with the MLG qualifier for CSGO is it's a best of one. Yeah. And you have a set location for it. I get that Valve was the one who made that rule, but come on. You have a set location. You don't even have to rent out hotel spaces or anything. Set location. Absolutely ridiculous. But we will definitely talk more about the Shanghai Open here. We're trying to book some guests and everything for that as well. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, actually, if let's just go ahead and stick with the Dota theme.
Oh, man. So much.
EG actually defeated Vegas Squadron in Captain's Draft 3 tournament 3-1, winning $43,454 in prize money. Not the story I'm excited about. I'm actually excited about this team called Mama's Boys that won fourth place and took home about $12,500. And their logo is a giant I love mom.
Well, isn't that sweet?
It is exactly what I would expect of esports. I'm just surprised it doesn't say like I love your mom or something on there.
And you know, the real depressing thing is give it two more tournaments and an organization will just buy them out.
Yep.
Ruin every originality, just like the Bob Ross fan club in Heroes
exactly
of the Storm.
What I was gonna say.
So all the funness goes away when Big Brother comes in. Well, that's just about doing it for us today, folks. Episode 21 of the Center Ring TCR is done and in the books. I thank you so much for listening. If you listened all the way through or even if you skipped through, I appreciate it just the same. You can always find us on Twitter. Let us know what you think of the show. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Whatever you want to say, I guess. Twitter is at The Center Ring. You can find me at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon is at
Brandany New.
Our website, it's very easy to remember. It's tcr.gg. That will have the audio of this episode. It will have the video, the links to YouTube, all of our social media, everything there for you is right on our site. So go there. That's kind of the central hub for everything. We will be back next week. We'll talk a little bit more Dota Shanghai, talk a little bit more Counter-Strike qualifiers are coming up for MLG Major. That will be big news. So we will discuss all that and more on episode 22 of The Center Ring. Until then, take it easy and we'll talk to you next time.